good evening. A warm welcome to the service this evening. We're going to begin this time of worship. We'll sing to God's praise and we'll sing from Psalm 115, the first two stanzas. I think it's verses 1 to 3 as they're marked in the text. Not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but do thy glory take, unto thy name, even for thy truth and for thy mercy's sake. O wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God now gone? But our God in the heavens is, what pleased him he hath done. These two verses of Psalm 115, we sing to God's praise, we sing in Gaelic and remain seated, and then after we sang Angus M, will come and lead us in prayer in Gaelic, please.
Ich habe mich daran erinnert, dass ich mich daran erinnert habe, 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 dass ich yn oes negleu sy'n mari o'ch gymysyn i gwydioch y cain o'ch o'ch yr y fwyd yr sy'n negwlyg ffw laif yn afyd ag sy'n ysgag ysgyrwad y gleol dyr yn hyn mae'n fi gwydr son yn oes yn y gw dyr yn y tron i leint yn yr leid y goi ag Ac yn aim sio hen, gwydor o'i gynnu fi cant yn gyfer dîrin gyn merwch. Ac ys y gyrran tro dîrin hen a yn un yr un yw ffwchwg. O'r ys y dîrin sy yn nôi a sefyr sy'n y ffen a ni yr un sy'n o'n i as y cthiast. Ac ys aw hen y gant yn dain yn a dîrin a byg y gylorof. Ar ymysg y maelryd, na byd geltyrwyd, ar ymysg y rhi, niast i chi misio, siag cwyd i chi mi, cam mis hwysw, le jes laif mir yn doch. Ac ys gwych sy'n ei eich ymysg ni cain o'ch, ar ni chi'n hanner sy'n, na da sy'n ei ffwlwg, ffwlaf ar nafyd, gymryd a etyn ffwlaf sy'ch gain. Gyrra'r dwysau ar dahad. Ar dahad y tar nefas ni gwyw, gynglor i'ch i'ch danam, gynig i'ch dar i o'ch, agos gynian i'ch dy holed yn thalw. Si ar tal y geg ym ych sy'n i ffen, yn hyll y golys o'r stehen, agos gym ych sy'n i ffen terafu, eith gyfer sy'n gael ddydd gan y fwynt o'r sy'n, gan y gwrs y spes, agos trot y spirit, gyda sy'n i'r tîn, y iawn sy'n dylw o'r hen. As ni'n gwir o'r dychrwyr gymys sy'n i fen, yr fi tîn gan i nad ysyn, ffar fel dyw mae'r unedd cwn i gynnu, agos an ysyn gymys sy'n i lai ysyn, agos yr artror o'ch, neu tred y spirit hen y iawn sy'n iawn, ffar ymys sy'n i fen jarafig. Ydd gyfer sy'n gael iddo gan y fwynt yr sy'n, y chai haddys o fasg o behe. Gyfer sy'n gael iddo mae'r chwol y sy'n, gan y fwynt yr sy'n, hannys yr ynthod bio, tred y spirit hen. Ygys gyfer behe nôag y gafael coni na'r danym. Ys ni gwir o ddechrwy ar gymys ni fain, ar yw tot yn thwylwch, agos yn thwyliw, geil gwyt hen. Yr leid yw goi agos yn ydwysyn i'r cosioch, yr straed yn o'r bela, gymig am ochol y gagach dynnu, gyfer sy'n gael iddyf y cosioch pan yr wyt hen. Agos gresio'n y ddoi as y fel sy'n, y ti yn ffwlag o la, y ffas yn ys colig, rysyniach sy'n y hag dy gestlaif, o'r angialog yr hotgat o lwg hen, Na fes at y noch gwych, dy fi alaf hen agos fachodd yn iachsion. Na gyfeng gyda mar y ha, agos gymiad colwch ddys. Agos e adioch o'ch dy lwag tron y nas o'ch o'n y sio. Na gym y gawnd gylad gafeng hen, nes colwch y ddynafyd ar danym. Na i dyr ysyn iachsion, a haig dy yeslaif. Nach mala fi uchtar san y laisyn, na gymi yn an am sgrifte yr clar yn ewtyn, agos gyfalad na chos amalte as yn hwyl an y sio, ar gyfalad agat sy mae'r claich dy hwyle, agos gyfalad an am yn sgrifte yr bosyn dy laif. O, chrwy ar ysyn i gwyw, na ddysyn i y cain o chwyr yn unig yn an y sy'n, agos na ddais ni ffengen yn hir sy'n ha y tyf hawl y fawr agos ga ffengen doroch mae'r treglonion nes ni gain o chwg a ie gynd y gwysialog ni gada gynny nef hyn a gawn mele yr nŵw sy'n iawn sy'r o to hod dy lwch hyn ach y charwasyn yn gofyr o dystiach y haddys yr unioed yn y fan y sy'n Ach, y grwg a hod, gw aach yn y synnyf, Negatiyan si he. Negisishinya ye kemishinya khruyar. Ranyash to khoganavi etikshin. Gundukuzabuoy hadish. Ernaitin to luog as an oichi vanishin. Hanaun tronyach nyasht as luog vanishin. Ach tronyasht nyachshin. Echai marhanat to luog. Agusak talga rompe asenli agus moshane khruyer ashini kretshini agus detikshin nad ashini kashok shtiene fasi gehande sho gewer kanar to luog tal taler hajokho agus gewel de spiritene hakavel koni nar nanem gewela ejanu ne anichig Kavalashin, a malle than ascent leer. Pianishin as Niko Yero, Tanashin Crane, Natanam Hain, Nagus Foskil Tirin Gain, a relate to all Yugus Kavashin Etiction, Kilvashigari the Kanavointerson, is Latsa. Pimalle Tihakida had his own, as in you Totanku Tarahana Shigin, as Niko Yu, committed Kurnachti Nihin. We wees go meich to luog, negus ne da chien ka vi fulug, skag is gewela, ne gewel oorlog, sluog er goedir, ke me ooni in to luog ka goostacho, leid gooie is gewela er hoek al soos, negus anderschen gewela veen, tro de spirit heen, anien ne chanjewaan jasht, ach gewela veen, vakisch gosht, ost heen. Pian ich hasch nicht gehört, gach ein ja hafulig, wo te lai wa genaim han das ho, tre ana bin joch ne fjol, tre ösch, ögis tre nichen in höhl han das ho, bi mali du, kaim suas hat, zweit wel te luog heen, te laste nische, gemischen na ne fin et pitkai. Gen ich oin Marie auch hasch nicht gehört, Agus na sin cain o chwyta fanys gair tŵf. Cymwg sy'n e byrg ar cthia. Chymwg ys cymwg sy'n e tîn. Cyfi hann an ymwanyr ar nesd o chwg. A cyfi tion tag y ddys gat tion sy'n hyn. Wain tŵr sy'n garsl gair tŵl y chyn. A niw gyn a grag y tŵk ys yn hwyl. A hast yn hyf y mwy dy chyrgyl dy lwch hyn. A cymwg gat y tîn. Gwe e tot yng Nghyddiw gwrt, o'r san as y Nghyddiw, hannu ni cthyrchi. Bi mae eisiau maledd yn ysyn hyddo fe eich hannu sio, gle agos dion sy'n, cawm sŵo sy'n, magyn ar pech gyda nes gach ddiwst. Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing again now to God's praise. We sing from Mission Praise 109. Mission Praise 109, that old hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne. And the reason my mind went to this hymn is that it has a line in it, I think, where it talks about God as the potentate of time, although I'm scanning down through the version of the Mission Praise and I'm not sure if it's here. So we'll sing the hymn anyway to God's praise.
Call music back in.
If you could turn now, please, in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a passage which highlights the word time over and over again. I'm going to read out the verse for you that was in my mind that Mission Praise have obviously decided to delete over the course of the generations. It's the last verse that was in this hymn that was traditionally sung. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, the one who's over all of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. I'd have left that one in. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we will read from verse 1 to verse 15. This is God's word. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. We'll sing again now to God's praise, another hymn that reminds us of the fact that God is the Ancient of Days, the one who's over all of time. Though the nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall, there is still one King reigning over all. So I will not fear, for this truth remains, that my God is the Ancient of Days. We'll sing the whole of this hymn to God's praise.
Throw in shall remain.
Let's pray as we come back to God's word. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for this familiar passage, one that we hear read often at state occasions, at funeral services. We have heard these words being read, and we pray that the familiarity that we may have with them wouldn't cause us to miss anything of the truth that you want to reveal to us. We thank you that you are the Ancient of Days. We thank you that you're the God who is over all of time. We thank you that you have the days of our lives numbered in your book. And we thank you for the patience that you show to us. You have given us time. You have placed us in this world. You have set eternity in our hearts. And you have called us in the gospel to trust you. We thank you that although we were born into sin ever since the fall of Adam, although we were born in a state of enmity where we are separated from God, we thank you that Jesus came into this world to take our sin away. We thank you that he laid down his life. We thank you for that greater love that we read of this morning. We thank you that because of all that he did, we, when we believe in him, are called friends of God. We are those who are promised that we are saved, that we have eternal life, and that we have purpose for all the days that we are given in this world. So help us, we pray, not to waste the days, not to waste the years, but to redeem the time. Help us to glorify you in all of our days and all of the tasks that you put before us. Help us to work and to do all things as unto the Lord. And above all, Lord, we pray that each one of us would make our calling and election sure, that we wouldn't get to the end of time and find ourselves outside of Christ. But we pray that each one of us, whilst there is still time, whilst we have today, that we wouldn't harden our hearts, but that we would trust the Lord Jesus and know that we are safe eternally. We pray for those in our families. We pray for those who are our friends, those that we work with, those that we pass day by day, who are still strangers to God, those who may either be disinterested in the things of God or may be resistant against the things of God. We know that our words have very little traction when we seek to speak to them. But it's not by might and it's not by power, it's by your Spirit that there is change. So we pray that you would be working in the power of the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of those that we pray for, that they may see Jesus and their need of Jesus, and that there may be those that we see even in the days ahead, even in this week, as we pray for them and as we reach out to them. We pray that we would see souls saved, those who we pray for convicted of their sin and converted to faith in Christ. Pray for those who may be your children but who are far away just now, those who may have drifted for whatever reason, those who may not be sure where they are before you just now, like the prodigal in a far off land. And as we think of them, Lord, we pray for them also, that they would return to you. We thank you that when we have a close walk with God, even though we go through hard times, even though there are struggles, even though there is suffering in this broken world, we thank you that when we are walking close with you, there is peace in the storm, there is joy even in the sorrow, and there is that assurance of your presence with us in every situation. So we pray, Lord, for those who have lost that sense of your presence, who have lost their hold on you. We pray, Lord, that you would have your hand upon them. And we thank you for the promise in your word that when you save, Lord Jesus, no one can snatch those that you have saved out of your hand. Yes, they may wander for a season, but we pray that you would draw them back. So hear our prayers and help us now as we study your word, to hear your voice and to respond in faith. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you could have that open in front of you, you'll find that helpful. When you were reading the passage, for some of you, your minds may have gone back to 1965. My mind's not quite as old as that, but it's not too far off it. But in 1965, there was a band called The Byrds, B-Y-R-D-S. And they sang a paraphrase. It was a hit song, and it was a paraphrase of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I was just searching up the lyrics. They sang about a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep, a time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. And so the song goes on. It's actually quite close to the text that we read. But for those of that era, I wonder, can anybody remember actually the name of the song? Sorry, somebody say it. Turn, yeah. Yeah, E and A. You're older than you look. The title of the song that I hadn't realised is actually Turn! Exclamation mark. Three times. Turn, turn, turn. And I don't know why the Byrds chose that title. But I think Solomon would have liked it. Because that's what he's wanting us to do as we work through this book of Ecclesiastes. He's wanting us to turn to God. To turn to the God of all time. So 3 points in the time that we have this evening, hopefully. Hopefully I'll get past point one this evening. The first point is the time of our lives. The times of our lives. And that takes us from verse 1 down to verse 8. And the second point is the thought of eternity. And that takes us through from verse 9 into verse 11. And then the last section is we finish with that focus on the trustworthy God. The God who calls us to live trusting him and close to him. So first of all, we have in the first 8 verses the times of our lives. And it's fairly obvious, we can see this in the verses before us, in verses 1 to 8. It's like a slideshow of our lives. Some people use an app on their phones just now, and it's an app called 1 Second a Day. And it does what you would expect it does. Every day in a year, you're supposed to film just 1 second. And you upload it into this app. You might be out for dinner with friends. You might be out for a walk in some beautiful place. You might be at a concert. You might be at work. And just at some point in the day, you just take a 1 second film. And then at the end of the year, with all these 1 seconds, day after day that you've uploaded, you have this 365 second film. And it takes you on a journey through the year. So your mind goes to all these places and situations that you were travelling through in the course of a year. And what Solomon does here is he takes us on a journey through our lives. We see the whole of our lives. We see just that snapshot of all the different times in our lives. Verse 1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. Every activity under heaven. In the Bible, we know that numbers have significance. And 7 is a number of completeness. And we have verse 1 that kind of almost gives the introduction. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. And then in the next 7 verses, each verse has a positive and a negative statement. And we're given this picture, and it gives us a picture of our whole lives. So verse 2, that there's a time to be born. We have a birthday. It's a time when we came into this world. We can go back to that time when we can tell people of that day. And there's a time to die. There's a time where we will depart from this world. And we don't know what day, what time that will be. But we know that for every one of us, there's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to invest. It might not be just planting potatoes in the soil, but there's a time to plant in terms of labour. And then there's a time to uproot. There's a time to gather up and enjoy the yield of what we've planted. There's a time to kill. Even this morning, we're remembering that. There is a time when there is a necessity for us to go out into the battlefields and for there to be defence, for there to be war. There's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and a time to build. There's a time to weep. Times when we are full of sorrow and when things happen in our lives and we feel that sense of grief. And there's a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. It's Dol and Ruth's 1-year anniversary today. A time for rejoicing, it's a time for dance. Not in the church, but maybe tomorrow. There's a time, verse 5, to scatter stones, and there's a time to gather them. Which is a bit of a cryptic statement for us when we think about scattering stones. I think what this refers to is actually connected in some way to war. When a nation wanted to sabotage the food supply of another nation, what they would do is they would scatter stones all over a fertile field so that the fields couldn't be used. There's a time to scatter stones. There's a time to gather them. It connects with war and peace. There's a time to embrace. There's a time to refrain. There's a time to search. And a time to give up. A time to keep. And a time to throw away. There's a time to tear. And a time to mend. Again, that probably goes back to ancient days when tailors, when those who made clothes, when one was growing out of their clothes, they would rip them up. And when the waistline was starting to be too small, they would tear it, and then they would sew other bits of fabric into the waistline or into the chest line in order to accommodate the fuller figure. And that's what they would do. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. There's a time to be silent. And a time to speak. There's great balance there. Some of us are almost always silent. We should be speaking up more. Some never stop talking. And we have to say to them, "Just can you just give us a second to think?" There's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace. And Solomon essentially says to us, these are the times of our lives. And because we're all different, and because we've all had different experiences, our minds will go to different places. We will be kind of drawing on different memories as we read through this list. But we can identify with the things in this list. We can identify with these seasons. Even the young ones at the back there, you can read through that list, can't you? And you can see that there's parts of your lives that identify with us. There's highs, there's lows, there's positives, there's negatives. And so we can see, we can identify with these different seasons, and we might be able to pinpoint even, just now as we go through this list, where we are in terms of these verses. Even as we think about our lives, there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And I used to think of myself as being much more back in the being born stage. But as the years go past, what am I now? Oh, approaching 50. We're over the hill. We're moving in the direction of the other end of the verses. So we can think through this and we can think about where we are in these different points. We see the times of our lives. And I suppose the question that we have to ask is why do we have this passage? What is the purpose behind this literature? What's the purpose behind what's very poetic language here? What is it that we are being told? What is Solomon trying to say? What is God trying to say to us through Solomon as we step through this list? Well, I think in part, what we are being told here is that God knows about our lives. God sees our lives. And God is aware and he is with us in all these seasons, in all these times of life. Sometimes we have that strong sense of God's presence as we pass through certain situations. Sometimes we wonder where he is. Sometimes we feel like he's far from us. Sometimes we want to say, have you forsaken me? The Psalms are full of that. But what we are given here is an assurance that God sees us, that God knows us, that God is with us in all the seasons, in all the circumstances, in all the times of our lives. And that's not just a supposition. That's an assurance. If we go beyond Ecclesiastes and as we think through different parts of the Bible, just take two texts as a follow-on from that. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. God says to his people, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. Maybe we're in a situation tonight and we're thinking about something that's up ahead and it's making us afraid. We feel terrified and we feel isolated. We feel like we're alone in the middle of something. We don't know which way to go with it. And God says to us, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them or whatever it is that's in your mind that's terrifying you. And then the reason is given to us why. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And think about the disciples as Jesus physically is going to ascend into heaven. And they're going to be left on their own in that sense. They don't have the physical Jesus with them. And they're wondering about this task that they've been given to go out into all the world with the message of the gospel. And they know the hostility. And they know the opposition. And they know the danger that's associated with all that. And yet Jesus says to them, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age, to the very end of time. So that's a simple point, perhaps, in application, but it's a necessary point for you and I to take hold of, that God is with us. No one here needs to think tonight that they're on their own. We don't need to be terrified. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to feel isolated, because we have the promise that God is with us. And when you go out into the office tomorrow, into school tomorrow or whatever, and you and I are thinking, about how difficult it is to tell people about Jesus. And that's our job. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples back then is still for us. Surely, he says, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So we see here that the times of our lives, the different seasons, the different circumstances, and we have the assurance and application that God is with us, he sees us, he is near to us in all these different seasons. Times of our lives, point number one. Point number two, much more briefly, the thought of eternity. The thought of eternity, the awareness, you could say, of eternity. Now, when we look around us in this world, we see people, but we don't just see people. We share planet Earth with many different species. We share planet Earth with an animal kingdom, and they experience all the times and the seasons in the same way that we do. So there are certain species, and they come over here for one season of the year, and then they're off. You can set your watch by them, and they're off to some far-off place. They know the seasons. They can read the seasons. They can identify with us in a sense in the changing times and seasons in life. The animal kingdom, these creepy crawlies and things that we see, they are busy. Solomon, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, consider the ant, look at the ant. And the ant is an example of a creature that works. It works furiously. It toils relentlessly. But the ant never asks the question, what's the point in all this? You never see a cluster of ants standing around separated from the hard-working ants and having a conversation saying, what's the point in all this stuff that we're carrying from here to there? And it doesn't happen. Whereas man, woman, boys, girls, we ask that question all the time. Why all this homework? What's the point in it all? Why have I got to wash all these dishes in the hotel? I'll have to be doing all the same thing tomorrow night. It's only however many pounds an hour. What's the point in the whole thing? And in verse 9, it says there, what does the worker gain from his toil? And so Solomon asks the question that so many were asking, and so many still today are continuing to ask, what is the worker, what do I gain from all my toil? And there's numerous songs that have been written to express the frustration and the futility of working tirelessly for something that actually has very short-term worth. Dolly Parton. Don't know the words of much of the song, but I know enough to quote, working 9 to 5. What a way to earn a living. A more modern song from the 90s, Oasis. There's a line in one of the songs that says, is it worth the aggravation of finding yourself a job when there's nothing worth working for? And Solomon is speaking into that. And Solomon is acknowledging the burden that people feel as they're under the toil of work, the pressure of work. He says in verse 10, I have seen the burden that God has laid on men. And so the question that we have to ask is, why does the ant not have a conference to discuss the merits of working so hard when we're forever talking about this? Why do we never see sheep and DJ's cows gathered in a field just burdened with the pressures of life and wondering about the big questions of what happens after they die? Why is there that difference between the animal kingdom and us? What has God built into man that he hasn't built into the animals? And the answer is the thought, the awareness of eternity. Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done, from beginning to end. And that's true. We spend much of our days not being able to fathom what God is doing and allowing to happen in certain situations. There is much about the character and the nature of God that we cannot fathom. Because he is God and we are not. He is infinite and we are finite. So how could we fathom? But one thing that we can fathom, one thing that God has revealed to us, one thing that he has set in our hearts as a deep instinct, is the awareness that beyond time, however many years you and I have, beyond time, there is eternity. And Solomon is writing in order to get us to think about eternity. God is using Solomon to challenge us and call us to get ready for eternity. And so we can look back over point one. We can think back about the times of our lives. We can see that we've been through many seasons of life. We've experienced many of the things that Solomon has written off. As the hymn writer says, we'll sing at the end, the sands of time are sinking. And as the sands of time sink, there is a growing urgency that falls upon us to be ready for eternity. So how can we be ready for eternity? And how can our friends and our classmates and the people that we care for, who aren't in church, who don't read the Bible, who perhaps don't know much about any of this, how can they be ready for eternity? What can we do to meet our Maker? What do we need to do? Well, if we fast forward from Ecclesiastes to the Gospel, we learn that it's not so much what we have to do, it's what God has already done. So what has he done? Well, the God of eternity, Jesus, the eternal Son, has stepped into time. That's what we'll remember over the month of December. That awesome truth that the God of eternity stepped into time and he lived for us and he died for us and he rose from the dead and he promises that if we believe in him, we can spend eternity at peace, knowing rest and experiencing joy and working purposefully and enjoying fellowship with God and with all who have trusted God and have gone on ahead of us to that place that Jesus has prepared. Paul reflects on that in Romans 5 and at verse 6. He says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So if you and I want to be ready, prepared, assured that we will be in an eternity that is bliss, that is peace, that is life, and that we will avoid an eternity of outer darkness, of torment, of death, then what are we to do? We're to believe in Jesus. We're to trust the God of eternity who stepped into time to save us. So trust Jesus. and tell your friends to trust Jesus. That's why we're here. We might be sitting here tonight saying, I trusted Jesus 40 years ago. Praise the Lord if you did. But you and I have friends and family and colleagues, and they are not trusting Jesus, and they don't know about Jesus, and they're not thinking about eternity. And the instinct, that awareness of eternity that God has put in their hearts, they're suppressing it, and the world will push it down deep. But God wants his people to reach out to those who are around them so that we will tell them and show them that Jesus loves them and that he came for them and that he wants them to trust him so that eternity will be a place of safety and not a place of darkness and lostness. The times of our lives, God is with us in them all. The thought of eternity and the need to be prepared for eternity. And the last thing, just 2 minutes, the trustworthy God. And if you just scan verses 12 to verse 15, essentially what Solomon is doing here is he is showing us how we're to live if we are trusting God. There's two things that should mark our lives if we're trusting God. There's two things that people should see in our lives if we are Christians. And one is that we are contented. And secondly, we are composed. First of all, we're contented. Just look at verses 12 and 13. I know there's nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. It's very straightforward. It's very simple. But the message is, when we are trusting God, there's satisfaction. There's purpose in your work. In the school, in the gym, in the distillery, whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is you're given to do day by day. When we're trusting God, there is satisfaction, there is purpose in our work. We're working for the glory of God, and there's happiness, even in the normal basic things. And the reason that we're happy, the reason that we have that joy, is because we know God is with us. And what we have, whether it's work, whether it's resources, whether it's food on our table, we're content with, because God has given it to us. He's measured out the portion. He's allocated the task. And so if we are Christians, if we are trusting God, that should be seen in our contentment. And also it should be seen in our composure. Verse 14, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is has already been, and what has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I suppose the simplest way to put that is, when we're trusting God, when we are Christians, we know God is in control. And we know that God is at work, always. And we know that the work that God does lasts. It endures. So we can be at peace. Our stress, our fretting, will not make any real difference to the things that are going on in this world. But as Christians, we know that our calling is not to be saviors. Our calling is to trust the Savior. And our calling is not to be charging around, trying to save everybody around us. Our calling is to be composed. Doing what we can, yes. But to have that composure of knowing that God is on the throne. The Almighty God is still in control. So we don't have to stress. And a life that's lived like that, a life that is contented and composed, is like light in a dark world. It's salt in a world that lacks flavor. A life where we are trusting God, and that seen in contentment and composure, is a life that stands out and causes people to ask the question, why are you the way you are? It's different about you. And that opens the door for us to tell people about Jesus. To tell people about the God who is in control. To tell people the meaning of life. The reality of eternity. And the way to be prepared to get there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you know us. We thank you that you're with us throughout all the seasons of life, every day that we have in time. We thank you that you've promised that you won't forsake us. But we thank you that we're not limited in our experience to just this world. This world is just like a mist, James says in his book. It's just like a vapor. And then there is eternity. And Lord, we know that you have warned us that there is the danger of a lost eternity, a place where we are separated from God, a place where we pay for our sin, a place where there is suffering that does not end. And the thought of that is more than we can bear. We thank you, Lord, that we have been told in your word that Jesus came to prepare us to go to heaven, not to hell. We thank you that Jesus is our rescuer. We thank you that Jesus is the one who stepped into time to be the saviour of our sins. We thank you that he paid the price of our sin on the cross. And we thank you that if we're believing in him, we have been promised that there is a place of joy and peace and eternal rest and satisfaction, a place called heaven, that he has promised, that he has prepared for us if we trust him. So help us, we pray, each one of us, to be trusting in Jesus and to be taking every opportunity that you give us to tell other people about Jesus, so that they too, when they come to the end of their days, may have the assurance that they are going to an eternity of peace and not an eternity where there is lostness. Give us that acute awareness of eternity. Give us that urgency to tell people about Jesus. Help us, we pray, to reach out in a world where there is an awareness that this is not all there is, where there is deep dissatisfaction. Help us to tell them, give us the courage to tell them about Jesus, the satisfier, the one who gives rest to our souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. 694 in the hymn book to end. The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I've sighed for, the fair sweet morn awakes. And it's a hymn that, as it goes on, speaks of Emmanuel's land. So we'll stand to sing to God's praise.
Sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I sigh for, the fair sweet morn awakes. Dark has been the midnight, but
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.